Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mike Florio.
Let's bring in Mike Florio here. Joins us on the program.
NBC Sports.
All right, Florio, I know you're probably busy.
Pro Football Talk.
Starts the day, he ends the day with Pro Football Talk. He is Mike Florio.
We have learned that an unvaccinated Aaron Rodgers has tested positive for COVID. Your thoughts?
Well, you know what? He's a big, fat liar.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Go to hell with your big brain. Ladies and gentlemen, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Bernstein and Rahimi.
How are you, Mike?
On the Score.
Wednesdays at 10, we talk football with Mike Florio. He's on Twitter at Pro Football Talk, the creator of Pro Football Talk, and he of NBC joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Mike. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going today?
Hello, hello. And I noticed on Pro Football Talk that a story was published hearing from Jalen Johnson, and the Bears should throw Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker into the fire. What is your impression of Gordon and Brisker? Because to me, when they were drafted, Mike, I thought that they were players who could make a difference on this team immediately, perhaps start in week one.
Well, if you're going to get rid of all your veteran talent, you better hope that you can plug your draft picks in and get them to play. So somebody's got to take the reps. And, you know, the idea of putting guys on ice indefinitely, that has kind of fallen out of favor in the NFL in recent years. We do see some guys who develop more quietly, but if you're stepping into a situation where a lot of the veteran players with name recognition aren't going to be there, you better hope that the new players you bring in via the draft are ready to go.
Something we've discussed regarding the Bears at length that had a little more fuel added to the fire was the extent to which the Bears are helping support Justin Fields in a critical year, trying to prove himself on the field and for a new coaching and managerial regime. Mike Tanier of Football Outsiders wrote a kind of a wild, frankly, overwritten, very ornate story about what the Bears are not doing for him, and used a lot of heavy terminology about just talking about how they're abandonment of him. I thought it was a little much, and I understood the idea of, hey, if he's great, he can be great, and we don't know how they're evaluating him and his and how it's all coming together, but it seems like we're divided into camps now, as is so common in our in reductive as we are, to say either the get Justin Fields more help, you're abandoning him, or things will be fine. And I guess I'm closer to the latter than the former. What's right in this?
Well, the key is this. It's not a matter of how they're currently evaluating him. The question is, what did the current regime think of Justin Fields in the run-up to the 2021 draft? What did Ryan Poles think of Justin Fields when he evaluated him in comparison to other quarterbacks in the draft class and other quarterbacks in the league? What did Matt Eberflus think of Justin Fields? That's all relevant to the broader dynamic of whether they're all in. And they're not going to interview for the job saying, you know, the first thing we'd like to do is get a different quarterback, because those guys you fired because they weren't very good at their jobs in your assessment. That not being very good at their jobs included the quarterback that they traded up to get, because we don't think he's very good. They're not going to say that. They got to try to make it work, at least in the short term. But that's why I keep looking at what they're putting around him or not putting around him. And there's a school of thought that he's good enough that he can overcome that. But come on, you got to have some talent around you in order to be the best you can be. And if the team struggles, what's the narrative going to be? We've talked about this before. The narrative is going to be Justin Fields must not be very good. And that lays the foundation to move on from Justin Fields. So you're in that window, first 3 years of a quarterback's career, where if you think you have a great young quarterback, you load up the cannon around him with free agents, high-priced, spend money then, because later you're going to be spending money on the quarterback if you sign into a second contract. It's just a weird vibe right now with the Bears because it feels like they're in a full-blown rebuild, and usually you rebuild in search of a quarterback. You've already got your quarterback, at least in the estimation of the old regime. From the new regime's perspective, all we can do is look at the moves they're making and what support they are or aren't giving to Justin Fields, and it's justifiable. It may not be accurate, but reasonable minds can differ on whether or not they are doing enough to help him and whether or not they're eventually going to be looking for their guy. They don't want the guy that the old regime found. They want their own guy. The old regime got fired. We want our own guy. I'm not saying that that's how they feel, but I could understand if that's how they feel.
Well, if you look at the defensive side of it, we know that they prioritized those first two picks specifically for defensive needs in the draft. However, they also traded Khalil Mack. We don't know what the status of Robert Quinn is on the team moving forward. He certainly proved his worth last year, but that contract is what it is. So you could also say that they're retooling on that side or rebuilding, whatever word you want to use, in a way that's deconstructive too. There's no real direction at all, it seems like, right now, other than just getting some pieces to fit open spots rather than get a big name or somebody who gives you a real direction of what this team is doing.
And you have to pay attention to defense. Look, the Packers spent their two first-round picks on defense, even though they have needs on offense. The Chiefs did the same thing. You still got to have a defense out on the field. So it just feels like the Bears have a lot more to address than any team can manage to address in one offseason. And it feels like, even though you'd ideally like to build up while you tear down, it just feels like there's more tearing down than building up. And again, you have faith in your rookies that they can come in and make a difference, and maybe they can. You have faith in the fact that right now the NFC isn't maybe as competitive at the top as the AFC is. You got a couple of good teams that are going to probably rule the day in the conference. But, you know, the Bears can be competitive with the Vikings and the Lions just because the Vikings and the Lions aren't very good right now. We don't know what they're going to be. So it's going to make for an interesting scrum. The AFC, there's too many good teams and not enough playoff spots. The NFC, where are all the good teams? It opens the door for a team that we're not sure about to get their act together, improve on the fly. We see that all the time. Teams get better and teams get worse between September and January. That's an opportunity for the Bears. Once it starts moving, can they make the improvements necessary to get themselves better between week 1 and week 18?
And you mentioned the Vikings, and I saw the news about Demetrius Washington being hired as vice president of football operations and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah continuing to add even to his front office after the draft. We keep an eye on him because he was available here, possibly. He goes to a division rival. What do you make of that hire in the front office that they're putting together?
Well, it's all to be determined. We don't know how it's going to play out. And one of the concerns I have with the Vikings generally, and this is something that I've said many times as it relates to the Dolphins, when ownership doesn't reside in the city where the team is, when ownership isn't showing up every day to make sure that everything is under control, it's very critical that there be the right dynamic between front office and coaching staff. And it imploded last year between Rick Spielman, the GM, and Mike Zimmer, the head coach. And Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, I think, was really interested in Jim Harbaugh, but the idea that there isn't ownership there to check Jim Harbaugh to the extent that he needs to be checked, I think that may have caused them to go in the other direction toward Kevin O'Connell. So we'll see. We'll see. And, hey, Ryan Poles was on the Vikings list, but the Bears got him to to not get on the plane. So there's going to be some interesting apples-to-apples comparisons about what kind of a team they put together in Minnesota and some daring decisions by Kwesi Adofo-Mensah to trade down with the Lions so they could get Jameson Williams, a receiver that they need, and then trading down in round two with the Packers so they could get the receiver they really wanted in Christian Watson. That could come back and haunt the Vikings in two different ways by those decisions to move back.
You wrote something last night that had me asking some questions, and I am never comfortable going down this path where it would lead to conspiracy theorizations. But when you talk about the Deshaun Watson decision still in abeyance and how the NFL has seven sports betting partners that can't conduct business the way they want until this decision is made, it made me wonder about the dialogue that occurs, if it occurs, where and how. Are all of the sports betting partners of the NFL represented by an umbrella group? Are they all treated just like other sponsorship partners and business partners? Who has conversations or who could have conversations with important people in the NFL about these things? And what is okay in a way to conduct business and what is not?
Well, it's still a new frontier. I know from the broadcasting standpoint, each network that is a broadcast partner has its own pipeline to the league office, and sometimes you get satisfaction and sometimes you don't. But with the sports betting, you've got different tiers. You've got the ones who are paying the biggest money, the initial ones that try exclusive. It's not just exclusive to one, it's exclusive to three. It's try exclusive, FanDuel and DraftKings, and I can't remember who the third one was.
Points Bet, I think.
Points Bet's on the second tier, okay, with the other four that got tacked on. You got seven. Yeah, usually they have one partner for, you know, beer and candy bar and pizza. They got seven for one industry, which is sports betting. But I think they would all say the same thing. We just want to be able to put the Browns on the board. The Browns are off the board when it comes to whether or not they will or won't make the playoffs. The Browns are off the board on whether or not they'll win more or less games than whatever we're going to peg their number to be. We want to put them on the board. We want to take action on these teams, all of the teams, not 31 teams, on 32. And it's not a huge dollar item, but still, there's a different incentive there than ever existed before. The urgency on behalf of these people who are paying the NFL good money collectively, very good money collectively. They made $270 million from their gambling partnerships last year, and they project to make $1 billion a year by the end of the decade. Those folks want to be able to put the Browns on the board. So let's figure this out. And that's just a separate concern from the more basic notion of how much time do you really need to make a decision about what Deshaun Watson's status is for 2022. And the fact that they're meeting with him this week, it tells me they recognize with everything they're going to need to do, all the boxes that need to be checked, the decisions that need to be made, the process that is in place, and it's a new procedure that was adopted in 2020, they're going to need every bit of the summer months to get this done. So it could be that the Friday before Memorial Day weekend, one of the classic bad news dumps, that could be when we find out the suspension that the NFL is proposing for Deshaun Watson. And then by Labor Day, we find out whether or not he's ultimately going to serve that suspension in whole or in part.
The courts are going to tell a lot of truths about the NFL, whether it's the news we got about Deshaun Watson and the deposition about one of the therapists saying that she ended with it crying, and you get that gory detail, which just tells you a little bit more about the severity of what that case is faced with. And then also you have the news, of course, surrounding the Commanders. And then additionally, there's news coming out about St. Louis. What are your big takeaways just from the courts, even this week, when it comes to some of the things that we're hearing about what's being revealed, especially that Rams and NFL lying about the potential move and how that shook out too?
It's amazing that you bring it up. You know, I do a bunch of radio spots throughout the course of the week, and nobody outside of St. Louis is talking about the documents that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch doggedly secured from that litigation. The NFL fought for 5 years to try to pigeonhole that dispute into arbitration. We see that all the time. That's the NFL's default move. Secret rigged kangaroo court of Roger Goodell is the ideal destination because you keep all this stuff from coming out. Those documents show, plain and simple, that the NFL knew that Stan Kroenke bought land in Inglewood, California, at the site of the former Hollywood Park racetrack with the specific intent to build a stadium there, and they lied about it. And they kept lying about it until Kroenke was ready to tell the world. Now, why'd they lie about it? Because they were still playing games in St. Louis, and they wanted the fans to still show up. They wanted them to buy tickets and show up at games and buy overpriced crap. That's why they lied to them. And it's amazing to see it all laid out there. And it's amazing that it took 3 days, 3 business days this week. We wrote a bunch of stories over the weekend about what those documents revealed, courtesy of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We wrote something about it yesterday. Nobody cares. And I don't get it. How is it not? And maybe it's just we just accept the fact that they're going to lie, that when we catch them in a bald-faced lie, we just kind of shrug and say, you know, tell me something I didn't know.
Well, that's why I found it interesting, was because that is important to not just St. Louis, but it also makes me ask, why isn't anybody in San Diego asking about this in the Chargers move?
Well, they blew their window. There was some noise made a few months back about a guy who used to be, I think, a member of city council, used to be in a position of influence, and they didn't sue when the window was open. I think they blew their statute of limitations. They could have tried something like that. I know Oakland's doing something. It's a different argument, I think. But what the Rams were able to do was use the language of the NFL's relocation policy against it in a very aggressive way and lay the foundation for a $790 million settlement that Stan Kroenke is still trying to pawn off on his partners and not honor his agreement to be responsible for whatever the fallout was of his move. It's still high drama among the oligarchs as to who's going to pay that $790 million. But I know a lot of the owners think, hey, Stan, this is your obligation. This is your consequence that you need to accept.
Well, while I'm here, Stan Kroenke is also starting to receive a lot of fire for the fact that altitude is not distributed in Denver and hasn't been for years. So I'm very curious to see how all of this plays out, because to me, when people start digging, it might be over in the courts, but the court of public opinion might have some sway. So I appreciate you going down that rabbit hole.
Well, the key is the things that are made available to the media and the fans via a court of law helps shape the court of public opinion, which is why the NFL's knee-jerk reaction is always, always, always get this case the hell out of court, because that's less stuff that people can read and examine and connect the dots on what we're really up to.
Is that public is that's private arbitration, which means even a FOIA request wouldn't work there, right?
Can't touch it. It's gone. It's all private. It's all secret. It's all now, you know, if you wanted to, you could leak some information. You could try to do it that way. But think of the Colin Kaepernick arbitration. His case necessarily fell under the collective bargaining agreement and arbitration procedures there. There was very little that was leaked. There would be hardly anything if John Gruden's case ends up in the court of Roger Goodell. We're not going to know anything about it. It's going to be very limited discovery. They're going to make it impossible for him, virtually impossible for him, to get what he needs to prove his case. That's how it works. It's these cases that are playing out in open court. Look at the Watson case. The transcripts aren't subject to any type of protective order. No matter what is covered in those depositions, the lawyers can turn around and hand to USA Today or anyone else the transcript, like Tony Busby, who represents the 22 women, did with Ashley Solis's transcript from the case, or from her case, the transcript of Deshaun Watson, and it's open season. That's the difference. It's public if it's in a court of law, but when it's in arbitration, the NFL does a much better job of keeping all of us from seeing what it is that came to light.
And here you thought by founding Pro Football Talk you could stop being a lawyer, and little did you know that eventually you couldn't.
I remember when I started in this business with absolutely no training or education in journalism, and it showed and still does. I felt horribly inadequate, and a couple of years in, I thought, my God, I would feel even more inadequate if I hadn't practiced law, because it's always something, and it seems like it's really ramped up over the course of the last year, and it seems like it's getting worse, not better, for the NFL.
How's the book doing?
I think it's doing all right. I mean, you know, Father's Day's coming up. We keep trying to sell it. I've mentioned this to you before. I've learned a lot about the publishing industry, some good, some bad. Who gets the money? Who doesn't get the money? Who's responsible for the promotion of the book? Who's not responsible for the promotion of the book? So it's been quite an education into an area of commerce that is, and the other thing too, not a lot of people read books anymore. Shocker. I don't know that they ever did, but we're very far removed from the days of people sitting around with a candle lit at night reading a book because there wasn't anything else to do. It's hard to get people to read books.
Well, Playmaker sounds like an excellent beach read to me, Mike. So we'll take it.
Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully plenty of other people will agree.
Mike Florio, thank you as always.
Thanks. See you.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Mike Florio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.